Before we jump into today's topic, a quick disclaimer. The stories and data we share come from the states that we practice in and the experiences that we personally had, which can differ greatly across our country and certainly the globe. This is not a professional advice show. So let's get comfy and talk about death.
And welcome to Mort Mike,
a down-to-earth discussion on death and dying.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Sierra.
And I'm Red. And we're your Victorian morning matrons this week.
I don't know what the Victorian equivalent of an air horn would be, but insert that there. Welcome back to another segment of the Death Culture Discourse Excursions, where we take you by the hand and through space and time to see how other cultures got down and dirty with death. After our last episode, where we spun the globe and researched wherever our fingers landed, we thought, for this episode, we'd instead explore a time period with some of the most intense mourning rituals. The Victorian era! So you may be asking yourself, why the Victorian era? Some of the most prevalent traditional funerary customs of the modern Western world and beyond hail from this time period due to how seriously they took mourning practices. Victorian time period stretched from the mid to late 1800s and encompassed the rule of Queen Victoria. Big shocker there. Mm-hmm. When her husband, Prince Albert, you may proceed to laugh a little bit there, died, she made it her life's work to mourn his passing. And who better to set a trend that would carry across not only the land she ruled, but to continents beyond than the queen herself. So the following is nowhere near a complete list of funerary customs from this era. So many things popped up that we could have honestly written and recorded probably like a 5-part episode for this. But to start us off, Red, what's cooking good looking?
Okay. So let's get started somewhere that many people are actually probably already familiar with, at least from TV shows like Penny Dreadful and The Real Housewives of Yield in London.
Oh, me too.
This could be clothes. That's the clothes. What would one wear to show mourning? What was the haute couture to express grief? Goths rejoice. It was painted black all day, every day.
Slay.
We had black crepe clothes and jet onyx for the poor black glass jewelry. When researching this, the word crepe jumped out a lot at me. This is actually one of the more popular yet lower end fabrics that's used in caskets today. It's called crepe. I can only assume this is like a nod to this time period from long times ago. Anyway, this fashionable grief extended to accessories too. The hair accoutrement, weeping veils, umbrellas, fans, purses, hat bands, and gloves. The addition of furs and other lustrous materials would have been a mourning faux pas. One was meant to be demure in style, to really show one's grief.
Ugh, take me back. I want it so bad.
Yeah, you really? Said crepe, and all I could think of was, like, Nutella crepes. I was here for it.
I was thinking more about the veils and the umbrellas.
That too!
And the, but
yeah,
also
minus
crepes.
The Black Plague, yeah.
We still see it at goth clubs. Just come on out.
True. I love that. I was going to say, I'm going to throw this one out there. I don't know if you guys have watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
There's a creepy paper.
Yeah, there it is! Yes. Oh, creepy paper.
So these funerals themselves were actually pretty straightforward, only because it's so familiar to the standards of today. The body was laid out at the home for about 3 to 4 days. Embalming, if it was used, was actually done in the home with portable embalming kits. Hmm. Funeral ceremonies themselves could happen in the home or at a church. One source I found actually mentioned the importance of like seating, where the closest relatives would be seated closest to the deceased so their guests wouldn't be able to see the next of kin expressing their grief. The following funeral procession was actually of large importance. It was either on foot or in mourning carriages, and all attendees would follow the deceased to the final place of rest. If you found yourself being passed by a procession, you were to stop and show solemn solidarity by bowing your head. Those with money to flaunt had the coffin displayed in carriages with glass sides. I've actually seen some of these at death museums I've visited. They are so just the pomp, the circumstance. It's just all beauteous construction, and it's meant to just be blow it at your ass money types of things.
There's, I love it. This is weird, and the only reason why I know this is because I was looking up cars earlier today on Facebook Marketplace. But there's one of these for sale right now. in the area, and it's like it literally looks like a station wagon with like a big ass like gold like super dripped out like back area, and then it's glass on like the sides, and I don't know why, but there's already like a little casket thing in there. I don't know if they took the pictures while somebody was like being carried or what.
You need it.
Yeah, I wonder if it comes with, you know? That could be our like, you know, equivalent.
Advertise
of
the... on it. Take it around town, throw our logo up on the window. People would click on that. I'll tell you what.
I remember going to, just very much a sidetrack, but went to Hearse Fest, and like there's a lot That's of people sick. Out there with tricked out hearses, and one of them had hydraulics.
Oh my god.
So good.
Oh, I need it. I've never wanted something awesome. More in my life, actually.
After the end of the procession, it would usually end at a church cemetery. So most of the people of this time were actually buried there at the churchyards. Because of the rise in death, it was just such a staggering amount of people that had started passing away in this time frame. These graves filled so quickly, and actual satellite cemeteries had to be established. So like what we're familiar with today. Cremation did actually exist at this time period. Well, it means existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, but in like the common dogma, it did exist. But the good old church highly frowned upon it. Unfortunately, it was a great answer to the overcrowding at cemeteries, and it mitigated the spread of illness from dead bodies. Like, that was actually an issue back then, but cremation never picked up until around the turn of the century. It's honestly tremendous to see how many of these customs are still seen today in modern traditional burial funerals.
Cremation's cool.
Yeah, I want to know why, like what it is exactly that they were like, no, we don't want people to be healthier.
I mean, the church saying no to something that benefits True. People because of science.
Not a surprise, I suppose.
I wish this was a visual podcast for how big my eye roll just was.
Yeah, right?
Well, the church is always, and I didn't necessarily research this, but just kind of a general understanding of like how they feel about cremation. Like they've gotten chiller, especially the Catholics from good old Pope Francis have gotten a lot chiller about it.
Shout out.
In recent times. But it's like, so cremation itself, it's like the flames are like indicative of the flames of hell. And also it's like the separation of the body. So like the body is to remain whole as so it can rise again to return to heaven or some shit, which, you know, like that's already a very fantastical thing to happen. If you can raise the dead, I'm pretty sure you can put cremated remains back together like a puzzle piece, Jesus. So I'm just saying.
Just like, an opinion.
Maybe he didn't like puzzles. Maybe he was more of a Sudoku guy.
Yeah, no, he's a numbers man. Yeah.
He's a numbers man.
Crosswords. Crosswords are really more his thing.
Oh no, crosswords, because he died on a cross.
Oh my.
Rip. No hate to any religion, okay? We love them all.
Well, we are very tolerant here.
Shitting a lot on the Catholics, but I was raised Catholic, if it helps at all.
All right, so back to the topic at hand. As we've discussed, this mourning period was extended. How long was someone expected to trudge through this grieving period? Where today, some would expect a few weeks to months. In Victorian times, the production of the grieving visage was to be upheld for potentially years at a time. Men, of course, had an easier go of it, pretty much being able to return from their grief after a short period of time or when they remarried, because, of course, they can do that whenever they want. Women becoming widows, losing children, or close relatives could be expected to mourn for as long as 2 years. And I read some stuff about it even being like forever. Her grief was broken into 3 stages. So there was full mourning, and that kicked off the initial year. There was a lot of self-isolation included in this step. And then the second mourning was the following 9 months, where small adjustments to garments were allowed. And then finally, half mourning. This concluded the cycle with another 3 to 6 months, with a brightening of the clothes allowed. So a lot of strict rules on what women could do. Crazy. We've come so far, haven't we?
I still think there's actually a lot of expectations like this that are still done today of like, oh God, it's so crazy. Like, how people feel like people are supposed to grieve, where like I've had some families that aren't really grieving at the funeral because maybe the person had like dementia, so they kind of already grieved them before, and this is just kind of like finally the person was able to pass away instead of suffering through a disease, but people still look at them funny and like, oh, they're not grieving, like what's wrong with them, like were they in a bad relationship or whatever. Or and then there's some people, you know, opposite end of the spectrum that experience the complicated grief where it's just like, it has been 3 years, like your mother was like 102 and you are still like not able to function because of this. So everybody's just doing their own thing, man.
Everybody is different.
Yeah, I feel like social media also has just had like such a hand in everybody wanting to be a part of everybody's business and how they like handle things.
Truth.
Emotionally or mourning or anything like that. I feel like a lot of things have become like performative even and just gone even further. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's, I think so too. Because like if I find out like a friend has lost somebody and it's almost like, even though I know it's wrong, like if I don't see them post about it on Facebook or something, I feel like it's there. Oh, that something's wrong. And it's just like, no, that's like people are allowed their privacy. Like they don't have to publicize every fart that they have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. or even on the opposite end of the spectrum, you see somebody posting about somebody and they're like, oh, my best friend, like, I'm going to miss you so much. And it's like, bitch, I know you didn't talk to her. I know you didn't.
Right.
like who are you doing this for? You want us to come and message you? Like, shut up.
Yeah, seriously. I see some stuff every now and again because there's like a public signing book for the obituary websites, and like I've seen arguments on there before where people are like, someone will post and be like, "Well, you don't fucking know her," blah 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 blah, and just like this is not 4chan,
and they're all like 70 years old,
yeah,
arguing over the obits.
Oh my God, because. That's so rough. You know, honestly, I was going to be really judgmental with it. I was going to be like, oh, yeah, those crazy old people arguing over that. But honestly, if, like, I don't know, my best friend dies and some dude is like, oh, I'm gonna miss you, man, and I know he didn't fuck with him, like, I'm going to call him out. I'd be like, hey, shut up.
You know? I've personally seen you argue over less on Facebook.
So. I would absolutely do. I wouldn't even do it on Facebook. I would pull up. I'd be like, knock, knock, motherfucker.
Yeah, see you at the visitation, buddy.
Yeah, right?
You're going to be in a casket right next to him. You keep talking like that.
I'm not even going to let him in the same graveyard. Not even in the same, like, fucking, you know, state. Try again. You know? Who knows? That's crazy. I would never do that. I would.
So to not follow these funeral customs was seen as an affront to the deceased themselves. That their loved ones weren't grieving them properly or hard enough. This got so obsessive to the point that people spent so much of their lives planning their own deaths. And some families would even go into poverty to afford a decent funeral for their dearly departed. They had to start young, though, as many people didn't live to ripe old ages at this time. Heck, some babies weren't even named until their first birthday due to the high rate of child mortality. But this was also meant that death was an open and honest conversation to the masses. People knew what they wanted for their own deaths and for their loved ones. They interacted with death more head-on. Some people even made their own shrouds before they passed or picked out their own caskets ahead of time. Funerals were such a big deal that burial clubs and societies were founded to assist the poorer of the community with affording a quote-unquote proper burial. But like all good things, mismanagement led them to falling apart. So,
yeah.
But I think in general, there is kind of like a lot to be like learned from this, some positives that we can take away just from the aspect of because it was something that was on the forefront of most people's minds, like people openly talked about it.
Yeah, people actually talked about death. Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting as you were like talking. I was like, wow, I can't get my family to talk about what they want for their funeral for the life of me. Like I can't. But back then it was like, nah, we're prepped. We're ready. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah, it's seriously a rarity to see nowadays. Like, it's so much more common that I'll sit down and make arrangements with a family that's just like, oh, well, you know, she'd been sick for like 3 years, but we just never could come to talk about the services that she wanted. It was just that she didn't want to talk about it. We wouldn't want to talk about it. It's like, she is at death's door.
Yeah.
Like, I've had like one or two times though in my career that the person that was sick was like on top of their shit. Like, there was one that actually made a video for their family ahead of time for them to be able to play like at the services, which was cool.
Oh my gosh.
Or like this one family brought in like the death binder that their mom had gotten ready for herself. And yet had like her prayer cards she wanted in there, like the poems that she wanted to read. Like, she was on top of it, but that is a rarity.
She was a Victorian era lady.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, moving on down our line of traditions here, I thought we would talk about a really fun, delightful thing, death photography. Sounds super, super cute, right? Yeah, so photography of the dead started to become a common practice around this time period. We had an entire episode on this, episode 25, if you're interested. So we won't spend too much time going over the excruciating details. But along the common themes of what we've already discussed, photography was an expensive process during this era. Most couldn't afford it before someone ended up kicking the bucket. It wasn't uncommon that the only picture someone had of their loved one was of them in their deathbed or in a casket.
Oops.
Yeah, so these became cherished mementos for the surviving families.
I think it's okay. Some people think it's like creepy, and I know we talked about this in the other episode, but I think it's like, it's kind of neat. Like, some of these photos, there's a book that has a collection of these photos, and it is just phenomenal. Like, all of the positioning and the posing that they did for these photos, it's just gorgeous. So if you ever have a chance, just look up like Victorian era death photography. You will not be disappointed.
I'm pretty sure there's a coffee table book, or a few, I'm sure, but there's one that I've seen kind of floating around that's literally just pictures of dead Victorian people.
Yeah, it's called, there it is, it's called Beyond the Dark Veil. I have that one. Yes. And it's like $23 on Amazon. Buy it. It is absolutely worth it.
That's wild. Sorry, I'm like trying to look it up as we're like talking here, because I want to see kind of what they look like. Because in my head, I'm imagining like very peaceful sleeping people, which I'm not sure that this is. You know what? When you Google death photography, weird things come up, just in case you're wondering.
Oh, no, I'm looking. I'm going to go look.
Yeah, right? Well, some of them look nice, and then some of them are a little strange, I'll be honest.
Yeah, some are creepy as hell. They couldn't really get the, they couldn't get the posture of the mouth to sit appropriately in a lot of them. Like, their feature setting wasn't 10 out of 10. I don't like the ones where they have their eyes open. That's
what I was going to ask.
That's wrong.
So in my, like, imagination here, because I've never looked this up, I was, like, imagining, like, very, you know, soft, gentle, like, sleeping kind of, you know, laying down. And everything that's coming up is, like, eyes open, either, like, held up by a loved one or, like, sat in a chair. Ugh. It's a little weird. Some of them are nice. Some of them are lovely. Like, the position, you know, it makes sense. It's good for the family. And then some of them are a little jarring.
Oh, my God. I'm going to see if I can paste it into the Discord. This is haunted as fuck.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, I really do wish this was visual media, because this is...
We'll post it on our socials when the episode drops. So that way you have, like, a little pamphlet of, like... This is what I'm looking at now. You know, like when you go to the museum, they give you like the little headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, I am very glad that we had all those wonderful visual representations to go over.
We'll post them so everybody can see them.
That was supposed to be the shortest part of this episode, and we talked about it
so long, and then I cried. So I think we're going to move on.
Is that the first tears on the podcast?
I think so.
Woo! Burr, 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 burr.
I will take that in stride. All right, so let's move pivot a little bit. Keep talking about some more death mementos. And I love to look at culture and their death practices from a point of view of what art or form of expression was popular at the time. So, of course, we have to talk about Victorian hair art. So this is the practice Ooh. Of taking locks of hair and creating beautiful, intricate floral sculptures, jewelries, lockets, anything really out of it. And this wasn't just for the dead. They saved locks of hair from everyone, but they were very sentimental, the Victorians, if you couldn't tell by now. And the life expectancy was still only 40 for men and 42 for women. And child mortality rates for children under 5 was 42%.
Oof. Damn.
Yeah, so not great. So this is a time where society is thriving. They're at the healthiest that humans have been, but their mortality rate is still super high and their life expectancy is still decently low. Coping with this fact is what I believe leads to all of these sentimental and kind of bizarre traditions. A lot of parents these days keep locks of hair from their child's first haircut as a keepsake for when they were little, but not just to have in case they pass away.
Hmm. Yeah.
So these hair art pieces feel like a way of healing and remembering when they were there. But it wasn't just limited to child deaths. They would create hair art for any loved one who passed away. And then on top of these over-the-top art preservation traditions, they also dressed to the extreme. Like we talked about earlier, women were especially expected to don their most mournful of outfits, which was literally the exact same fashion, just in black. And then they would take all of that black, all of their expectations for mourning, and they'd throw their hair jewelry on top of all of it.
Oh.
So a lot of sentimentality.
These are like gorgeous pieces too. Like just a quick Google of them. Like these brooches, bracelets, necklaces. I mean, these are honestly very pretty. I wish it was something that we did more of today.
I love them so much. So I grew up in a kind of like small town, and they have two museums, kind of. One of them is also a library, like the town's library. And the other across the street is just like a really, really old house. And they have a bunch of Victorian hair art there. I think from like the people that have like passed it down from generations and stuff that lived in the house, for why it's like a museum now. I don't know the details. They're not that interesting. But I went there when I was probably 10 or 11 with my friends. We took a tour and I sat there staring at the hair art, just going, wow, this is so cool. This is so, and they like explain, you know, that it was from somebody who had passed away and all that stuff. And I just like stared at it and I was like, oh, I love this weird shit. I need to find more of this. So now it's like my goal to always find the just most morbid, weird thing I can find at a normal museum.
I have found an unfortunate addition to the hair art collections. No. Apparently, sometimes teeth were used.
Oh, okay, wait. I'm in.
Yeah, I love it. Here for it.
Yeah, I always thought that was really sweet. It doesn't get asked for that much anymore to do, like, hair trimmings. It is very rare. I think I do probably maybe, like, 5 times a year. Maybe that, if that, that people ask for us to cut hair of their loved one. And like, I don't see why not. Like, it's, you'll put their cremated remains in a necklace around your neck. Like, why not their hair or something? That's like an actual visual representation of that person, you know?
And do you find that it's like older people, or like when it's more kids that they're asking to like keep their hair, or just around the board?
So definitely kids more so than older people. But then the people that are asking for older people's hair tend to be like, I would say like in their 30s or 40s are okay. asking for like their parents' hair or like a husband or wife's hair. So
that makes sense.
I think it's just so cool. I'm just very grateful. I've never been asked for like nail clippings or some kind of fucked up shit like that.
I was about to say something sad, but I was going to say that'd be like such a bummer if your loved one was super bald. No beard, nothing. You're like, oh, I'd love some hair to remember them. And it's like, best I got is leg hair.
But I married Mr. Clean.
Oh, he was a perpetual shaver.
A tale as old as time.
Well, with all the hubbub surrounding death of this time, it's no surprise that yours truly's profession was born. The humble cabinet makers who just made coffins saw an inn. There was a high demand for death-adjacent goods and services, and with the death toll at an all-time high, the proto-mortician stepped in to assist in the pomp and the circumstance of the death ritual. It became a thing of convenience. You could rely on them to handle all of the details. transporting the dead where they needed to go, obtaining the coffin, the flowers, the funerary stationery, coordinating clergy in the cemetery, and everything in between. Why do it yourself when you can pay good old Grimshaw and Sons to do it for you? Many see the funeral directors of the 1900s and even today as predatory, but upon the birth of the Undertaker, it was actually a blessing to these death-obsessed Victorians.
Oh, I love them. I love, you know, somebody who really gets in when the iron's hot.
Right, exactly. Because, yeah, it wasn't like as shitty and shady back then, because it literally was just how most occupations are started, which is we saw a need, we filled the need, and it was reasonable. Hey. And yeah.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
And then, and they were actually regarded with quite a bit of respect back then, too, just because of what they did. Obviously, this was a huge part of, like, society, and the fact that they were the ones to do it, like, it made them, like, kind of put it on a pedestal, which was born in the wrong century.
For real, man. Damn. And now everybody looks at me like I'm a total weirdo when I tell them I cut up dead people. They're like, huh? What?
Fucking ew. Clean it up.
No. I want to be highly regarded.
Right. Huh.
Well, do we want to get spooky?
Yeah.
Ooh, let's get spooky.
Do we want to talk about the superstitions of the time?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm here for it.
So, of course, when it comes to death, and especially death that was actually dangerous, you know, spreading disease and all that, there's going to be quite a lot of fear that comes with it. A lot of people dying at one time where medical practices hadn't advanced to the point that they could completely tell when someone was dead.
Oh no.
The term wake coming from a time for the deceased to be laid out in the parlor of the home for, of course, paying respects, but to truly make sure they were dead after days of lying in state.
I'm not dead yet.
Not quite. Oh, no. Often the black crepey paper, would be hung around the home. Clocks stopped at the time of death and flowers would surround the deceased for the odor. When the time came to bury, a wealthy family could invest in a safety coffin. These Lambos of the funeral world had more comfortable liners, even feeding tubes and escape hatches. Or eventually, the addition of cords that ran to a bell attached to the surface of the grave to absolutely scare the shit out of anyone overseeing the cemetery.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, the natural bloating of the bodies after death could also cause the bell system to activate. Which, you know, stinky surprise down there.
Stinky surprise, my new band name.
Oh no.
So after all this research, we found some of these safety coffins were only ever concepts. Even the designs that were employed have little to no documentation of actually saving anyone from being buried alive.
Unfortunate, because some of these designs are just absolutely batshit insane. Like, safety hatches and all this shit. I think I remember reading one story of a dude who wanted, like, a glass pane or something at the front of his coffin. That way, like, if he was breathing, you know, it would condense on the glass. And they had to check him, like, every morning and every night to make sure that he was actually dead. Gosh. He was dead.
Yeah.
Ended up being actually dead.
They all do.
So, not in line with superstitions, but also worth mentioning, instead of investing your pence in tech that allowed someone out of the grave if they happened to be spirited away alive, there was also a plethora of grave goods to keep people out. Body snatching became a real problem for freshly buried bodies so much that caged vaults called mort safes became a necessity, at least for those who could afford them. Some cemeteries even hired people to watch over the graves to chase off any ne'er-do-wells. There are actually still graveyards to this day that have historical mort safes if you're up for a jaunt across the pond to old England's churchyard cemeteries.
Boo, that was England.
An awful that was so good. Interpretation. I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who lately. But the list of superstitions rolls onward. Entire novels could be written on the things that the Victorians feared surrounding death. But here's a quick list of some of the more notable ones. Mirrors are to be covered in the home as to avoid someone's spirit becoming trapped in them.
Hmm.
It is bad luck to meet a funeral procession head on. If you see one approaching, turn around. If you hear three knocks and no one was there, it usually means someone close to you has died.
Oh.
If you smell roses when none are around, someone is going to die.
I wish.
If you don't hold your breath while going by a graveyard, you will not be buried. If a picture falls off the wall, there will be a death of someone you know. If you spill salt, throw a pinch over your shoulder to prevent death. Never speak ill of the dead because they will come back to haunt you and you will suffer misfortune. And the two deaths in the family means that a third is surely to follow. There's also a bunch of superstitions about birds and inclement weather, and basically even burping the wrong way meant death was coming. Everything was an omen back then for the most part.
Well, birds aren't real, so.
Birds are not real. Birds are a government psyop, so we know that. But some of these actually probably sound familiar to many, and I've definitely heard one or two growing up. What about you guys? You ever hear of any of these?
Whenever I pass a graveyard, I always hold my breath.
I do too, but I thought it was because if you breathe, you pissed off the ghosts and they haunted you. I was always told, and mind you, I grew up in a different state, that if you breathed when you went past graveyards, it was disrespectful to the dead and it made them angry. Oh. And so you had to hold your breath as you went by because you didn't want to upset them.
I was always told you'd get haunted or some shit like that when I was a kid.
You didn't want to hurt their feelings because they couldn't breathe anymore. That's how it was explained to me.
Oh, they were just trying to make you a really conscientious little girl.
Oh, it worked. Now I overthink everything.
Yay.
A curse. They cursed you in a whole different way.
Oh, man. It went full circle. The three things is real.
The what one?
The three things? That's real, dude. Deaths come in three.
Fuck yeah,
I'm
dude.
I'm not playing.
I believe in that. No, I believe in that. So, like, that is a thing, dude. Like, at the funeral home, because for us, it's not necessarily even just the familial ones, because we do tend to see, like, family members dying in threes within a short period of a few years. But we will always get, if you get one person of size, anybody over, like, 350 pounds, like, we will always get three of them within, like, a few weeks' time. We will get, like, three babies. It always
yours
clusters
like
in threes.
Clustered.
That's crazy.
It's so weird.
So, in my experience, shit hits the fan in threes, right? So, if one person you know unfortunately finds their untimely demise or timely, you got two more coming, you know? And it's not something you like say out loud, but you know it. You know what I mean?
We like, all know it.
A couple weeks ago, somebody I knew passed. And then guess what happened last week? Somebody else I knew also passed. I wasn't as close with that one. But still, it's kind of crazy. And so now I'm like, y'all better be driving real safe. Everybody stop doing what you're doing because we got one more coming, you know? That's real life. Ah!
No, that's still, I still carry that day to day. Like that is definitely something like I'm not a superstitious person, but I feel like there's gotta be a science behind that one. What about you, Brandy? Any other ones that you might have heard of?
The roses one, I don't know what it is, but I don't like the smell of roses. But that it, like, a funeral home always, of course, smells like roses. So it smells like dead people anyway. But I have had times in my life where I have smelled roses just randomly. But I don't have any connection to, like, somebody dying near after that I could, like, think of. But I can actually remember there being, like, points in my life where I'm like, why does this smell like roses? And I've been sitting in my room for, like, 3 hours. And I hate Rose. So that one actually, I've never heard that one before. So that one actually kind of got me.
It kind of freaked you out.
I'm like, oh shit, did I miss something?
Oh no.
I'd also definitely heard about the spilled salt thing, but never like linked to about death. Like it was just like bad luck in general, like to throw salt over your shoulder or whatever.
I didn't know
that
was like a death thing. I definitely just thought it was like I don't know. I always thought it was some fairy shit. Like the fairies
will get
you.
A little sprinkle of fairy dust just to keep them at bay.
Yeah, man, they'll come and like steal you away or something if you don't hit them with the salt before they sneak up on you.
Always got to keep that iron horseshoe, dude. Yeah. Got to keep that iron horseshoe on you.
Oh my God.
So after this exploration of the Victorian times and its influences it's had on our current life situation, whether that's on our current practices of wearing all black, how long we're supposed to mourn, or even just like some of the superstitious stuff that may or may not be real, it is. It's just been a heck of an episode, and we are going to keep on trucking when it comes to looking at things, whether it's now, future, or in the past. of how it relates to death, dying in the most polite way possible. So we can't wait to talk to you guys next month, but we appreciate you sitting in with us this month.
That was so bold of you to assume that we are being polite about any of these deaths.
Yeah, that's a stretch. The polite part's a little bit of a stretch, but you know, we're down to earth. Maybe we're not polite, but maybe it's polite to be blunt. You know?
Maybe it's we're not the villain the world deserves, but the one it needs. I don't know.
Exactly.
All right, I'm exiting my villain arc. I would like to cap off this episode with just thanking our donees once more for their donations last year in helping keep us on the air. We actually have made a decision with a random generator, a random spin of the wheel. It is Vermilion of our donees that has won the episode. Woo-hoo! That we will be recording next, which we're very excited about. We're not going to give anything away just yet, so you'll have to tune in for next time. But still, thank you to Laura, the Goulias family, Luke, Shay, Courtney, and Sue for your donations. And of course, if anybody else wants to make donations throughout the year, it's mortmikepodcast@paypal.com. But that's going to be all this week on Mort Mike. Connect with us on socials at Facebook and YouTube at Mort Mike Podcast. And if you have any suggestions on topics you'd like to hear about or cultures you might want us to explore, whether it's back in the past, the present, or, I don't know, space funerals.
The future of the death industry, as told by aliens.
I want to get shot into space.
I do too.
You can shoot us all of those suggestions or questions at mortmikepodcast@gmail.com.
A huge thanks to Joey, our dedicated studio gopher, Marson Music for our theme Deputies of Death, and Macklin Legan for our custom icons and banners.
Be sure to tune in the first Thursday of every month for more casual discussions on death. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Mort Mike.
Goodbye.
Bye.